Before we get to the scripture, let me do this. First of all, if I can get a couple of my, or one of my ushers up here, one or two. I think today I want to get these out. So if one of y'all can come get these and just take these out to the foyer out there, if you would. And I'm going to get them to put them on the tables out there in the foyer. And we'll do that instead of what we normally do with our Bible study booklets. For this week, I just want to get these out to you, all right? So on your way out today, if you can take one on your way out, I want to give it to as many of y'all as possible. And normally we'll get you up here and we'll pray, but for time's sake, then tonight we have the Lord's Supper. But we missed the first day, so I want to get these out to you today. So on your way out, don't forget that. And grab a Bible study booklet and have that with you as we start a new year, start the month of January. And pray for a couple more things I didn't mention before the offering. One, pray for talking to Ms. K. Pray for Joseph Campbell, Pastor Joseph Campbell there in Charlotte, just having some issues with his colon, and just need some prayer there. Need some prayer, and I tell you, it's tough these days because when you're sick. You're dealing with stuff. I mean, who wants to go to the emergency room, right? Or who wants to go to the hospital and deal with that right now? But just pray for him. Pray for his health. And that's Pastor Joseph Campbell down there in Charlotte, North Carolina. So pray for him. And then pray for our college students. It's always great to have them home, and we're not trying to get rid of them early. Some of them will be here for a little bit longer, which is good. But some of them will be heading back here soon. Caleb thought he'd already be heading back, but we'll keep him as long as we can keep him, all right? But he had his flight canceled, but he'll be going back soon, and some of the others as well. So anyway, just pray for our college students as they head back to school. And then we're going to, this morning, in fact, you can take your Bibles and turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Appreciate our music this morning, and again, those that filled in, we appreciate Mrs. Stephanie coming over from Junior Church and playing the piano for us this morning. And then also Brother David with the choir and Brother Jason with the congregational and filling in for us. And so appreciate that. And, of course, Brother David and Brother Jason with the special and Miss Stephanie with the off-tour. So thank you for the music this morning. I'm going to start this morning in Joshua chapter 1 and sort of start a series. I don't know how long this is going to last in the book of Joshua, but we'll talk about this. Be back tonight. We'll talk about some things tonight and then also next Sunday as well. I know the first Sunday of the year, everybody's still getting back from vacation and things that are going on, but over the next couple of weeks and our focus and our theme as we move into 2022, and I really want to focus this year on the Word of God. And we'll talk about that some tonight. I've got some things I want you to work on that hopefully will be good for you. And then we'll have a few different series. In fact, Wednesday night, be hopefully here on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. But this Wednesday night, we'll start a series on Proverbs, on the book of Proverbs. And, man, just if ever we need wisdom, it's in this day and age. And there's so much wisdom in the Word of God, but especially in the book of Proverbs. So we'll begin that on Wednesday night, and this morning, start here in the book of Joshua, and we'll read Joshua chapter 1, and verse number 8, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." I don't know if you mark in your Bibles or not, but the title of the message this morning I will take from the first two words of this verse here, verse 8. And that's those words, if you mark in your Bible, this book. We'll talk about that this morning. Father, again, we thank you for what we've heard already in song. Lord, thank you for the Word of God and what a blessing it is in our lives. And Lord, I pray that more than ever before, Lord, we'd find strength and wisdom and comfort and instruction, not in the things of the world, but Lord, in what you've given us, which is your precious word. And I pray this morning we'd get into the word, we'd understand it, we'd apply it. And Lord, I pray again that the truth of the gospel is in the word of God. I pray if there's someone not saved that they trust you. I pray those that are saved, Lord, help us to live a life guided by your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Here in the book of Joshua, as we sort of started out, and I'm not going to go into maybe as much background as I normally would, because most of y'all know who Joshua was. Now, Joshua is not somebody that is talked about a lot before the book of Joshua, but is mentioned some.
And, of course, he has the job of taking over for Moses.
And so we move into the book of Joshua, and Joshua, who had taken a role as somebody who was under Moses, and really, if you study the life of Joshua, a good example for us is in preparing himself for what God would have for him. He didn't necessarily know, but if you look throughout the first, really starting back in Exodus, you start there, but you look, Joshua's always on the right side of things, right? When all is going on, all the sin that's going on in the camp there where they worship the golden calves, Joshua's not there, right? He's not a part of it. And when the spies went out and you had 10 spies plus the whole nation of Israel, basically, that said, we can't go into the promised land. There's only 4 people on the other side, and Joshua is one of those 4. He's always on the right side, always on the right side of things. And that's a good start for a young person in the right place. But still, it's a big step from doing what Moses said and following Moses, who may have been, outside of Christ, if not the greatest, one of the greatest leaders in the history of the world, and leading the millions of Israelites out of Egypt into where they were. And what a great example for Joshua. But now he's at a point that he has to take charge, and that's because God has chosen him to do that. And so I was thinking about this week. I was talking to our Sunday school class this morning, the couples up there. One of the things I enjoy doing, we're talking about Christmas presents and those things, I enjoy reading. All right, some people enjoy reading, some people don't, and that's fine. I do. If I get a book that I really like, then, man, I could sit down and just read it at one time. You know, just sit down and read the whole thing. I don't know if some of you are like that or not. I mean, you get it, and it's night, man. You stay up to whatever time, and you just read that book. Now, Dad had thousands of books. I mean, thousands of books, and we can attest to that as we have not gone through all the thousands of books. Dad would give here a preach, and he would say, Dad didn't read fiction. Didn't read fiction. No fiction at all. He has thousands of books. I would joke with Mom after Dad passed away. I said, we're gonna go through his library and find stuffed in the corner somewhere, you know, all these fiction books that he had. Well, we haven't found that, right? We haven't found that because he didn't have any. He didn't have any. He was consistent in what he said and what he did. No fiction. No fiction. Now, I'll read some fiction. I'll read news. It doesn't matter to me. But I'll read some fiction, and I'll do that. So not all of what I read is something that is nonfiction, but that's what he does. So, there's books, and you love, if you love to read, man, you get a good book. And now I'm one that, again, everybody's different personality. If I'm reading a book, you know, the world could be falling apart in front of me. And you know, kids screaming, wife trying to get my attention, house on fire. I'm just reading my book, man. I'm locked into that. So I'm focused and concentrating on that. I enjoy reading, and all those things are great. And again, Dad had thousands of books. That's very good. But I tell you what, I want to focus this year for me and for us as a church on this book right here. We have this book, and all the other books are great. And some of those books can be a help to us, and it doesn't mean they can. And some things that are out there can be a help. But there's nothing like this book. And God has given us this book in our lives. I want to talk about what this meant for Joshua. First, though, a little bit before we get to verse 8, I want to back up. And so let's look at verse number 2. God speaks to Joshua, and he says in verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Moses is now dead. Moses is gone, and it's time for Joshua to take over. But this is a comfort, I think, to Joshua as you read through these verses. And he tells him, of course, the project is stated here in one verse, really. But the application of that is going to be so much more than just one verse. He tells him in verse 2, says, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. He said, here's your job, Joshua, just take all these people over into Canaan, all right? Take the promised land. That's what you're supposed to do. Something that Moses had been building up to for the last 40 years, and they weren't able to go into the promised land. Now, Joshua, here's very simple in one verse, take these people into the promised land. And so that's his job. That's his what God has given him to do. But here's some things that are comforting to him as he prepares for that. Look at verse number 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. First, he tells Joshua this, as I said unto Moses. You know, what he's trying to get across to Joshua is this, the same promises that I gave to Moses apply to you as well. And you know, this morning, as we look back at those who have gone before us, those that have done things for the Lord, the same promises that God gave them are given to us as well. We get those promises, of course, from the Word of God. And so God gave him a comfort. He said, listen, I promised Moses this, that land would be yours. And that same promise is true for you, Joshua, as well. Hey, for us this morning, the promises of God that those before have trusted in are still true for us. He says, arise, go over Jordan. He says, the land, I'll give you that land. In fact, to the children of Israel, it's yours in particular. And notice, this is good, it's not the message this morning, but look at verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. Now, there's a promise from God that land is yours, but here's the condition, right? Every place your foot goes. In other words, they have a responsibility as well. Sometimes we look at the promises of God and say, well, we're just going to sit back and let them happen. And there's some things that God promises no matter what. But there's some things God promises depending on what we do, right? Hey, your child will not depart from the truth of God, but the first thing you have to do is what? Train up a child in the way he should go. We can't expect God just to do, I want him to do this for me. If we're not, hey, it was where they went, where their foot went. All they had to do, by the way, all they had to do was travel to these areas. God had given them the victory, but he says, where you go, that'll be your land. And so that was a promise from God, as I said unto Moses. And look at verse number 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. And so it's interesting here, the promise he gave him was that land is yours. We think about the days, the early days of our country as people went out west and you had that land that was out there, right? They could just go get that land and that was a great thing. And as we went further and further out west and made it all the way across. But you know, for the most part, you've read your history. I think it was, remember the state of Oklahoma when they had that rush, that land rush, basically opened up that territory. It became a state eventually where pretty much you could just grab whatever land was there and it was yours. A little difference here, right? The land that God had given them was occupied. It was occupied by the Canaanites. And these Canaanites were fierce warriors and many of them were well known. For being able to win. In fact, the reason they had the land is because they had won those victories. And so this wasn't just land that was unoccupied. There were people there that had to be conquered, but God had given them a promise. He said, listen, they'll not be able to stand before you. As I told Moses, the same thing for you. They won't be able to fight and win against you if you follow what I've told you to. And so as I said unto Moses, the same promises of God. Then look at verse number 5, the next part of the verse. As I was with Moses. First he says, I said unto Moses. Then he says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. You know what? God promised him the same presence. You remember the story where Moses said, hey, if your presence isn't with me, I don't want to go. Hey, that same presence of God was promised to Joshua as well. Hey, this morning, God's presence that has been in the house of God, in this place, and amongst God's people, that presence, that same presence of God can be true in our lives as well. And God's presence is with us. And so God gives him that same thing that he had given to Moses. Says, I was with Moses. I was with him. And of course, he tells him, I will not fail thee. Hey, God will not fail us. You know that? God will not fail us. This morning, we may fail, and we will, but God will never fail us. And he says, I will not fail thee. And then secondly, he says, I will not forsake thee. Know this, Joshua, I didn't forsake Moses, I will not forsake you. And we have the same thing for us. It's the presence of God, the promise from God. You go from there, we won't turn there for time's sake, but Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, what did he give the promise to the disciples? Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Hey, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5, I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. That promise from God, the same thing in the Old Testament as in the New Testament, that God's presence will be with them. And then look at verse number 7, middle of the verse there. It says, which Moses, my servant, commanded these. He says Joshua is going to be the same promises. It's going to be the same presence. And then he says it's going to be the same principles. Those things that Moses commanded you, that's what I expect you to do, as the Lord commanded Moses. Go very quickly. I don't want to jump too far ahead, but go to Joshua chapter 11. We'll get to this eventually in our study of the book of Joshua. But I want to go ahead and read this first, Joshua chapter 11, in verse number 12. And just a couple great verses here. This is sort of the end of the conquering of Canaan. Not totally done, but closer to the end. In verse 12 of chapter 11, all the cities of those kings and all the kings of them did Joshua take and smote them with the edge of the sword. And he utterly destroyed them as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded. Then look at verse 15. As the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. The same principles. God had given Moses some commands. Moses passed those on to Joshua. The same principles that God had told him to abide by and live by and serve with. And Joshua took and did exactly what Moses told him to do. You know, that's such a great example for us as an older generation to the younger generation. And it doesn't mean we don't bypass the Word of God with that. No, we take the Word of God that's been taught to us and we teach that to the next year and we follow through on it. And that's what Joshua did. Joshua took the same principles that Moses had given him and he put those into place. And so we have that. Moses is dead, but God tells Joshua, hey, those things I did for Moses, those promises, that presence, those principles will be true for you. And then he also gives him another instruction before we go to verse 8. So back to Joshua chapter 1, look at verse number 6. Several different times he mentions this statement, be strong and of a good courage. Or be strong and very courageous. Now, why does God keep saying that? You know why he keeps saying that? Because Joshua needs to be strong and courageous, right? And Joshua, that instruction is given him because Joshua may not be there yet. I thought about the word courageous. You know, and I don't know if you've ever, I won't ask you to raise your hands, and some of you would, even though you're humble, you'd want to admit it, but if you've ever been called courageous before, I mean, courageous is a term that nobody gets mad if somebody calls them that, right? Man, they're courageous. And we all would accept that compliment. We all want to be courageous. You know, you wish you were more courageous than you are. There are times that remind you. We had a guy come this week and do our power washing for our house and clean the gutters. Man, I could do the first story gutters, the second story gutters. I'm just not real courageous, all right? My courage is not there. Some of y'all are more courageous than me, but, you know, I'm just not. And the older I get, my courage just keeps going down further and further. You want to be courageous, and I know some of you are. Some of you may would have handled this differently, and you're trying to be. I want to be, obviously, somebody that's brave and strong and courageous for my wife and kids. To look up to. We had a few weeks ago, and the temperature was cold. It was back when it was a little colder. It was probably mid-30s somewhere in there, and it was in the evening. It was dark, and we were at the house, and I was getting. In fact, Brother Tony Antic was over there doing a little work for me, and so he was there, and I had gone and gotten some salt pellets to put in our water softener. It's right under the house. In fact, our house, you open the door to go under the house. I mean, it's right. I said, man, put it right at the door. I'm not crazy about crawling on my belly underneath the house. So I said, just put it right at the door. So it's right there. And I just have to take some bags and dump them in there. You know, I've showed the boys how to do it. They haven't volunteered a whole lot yet, but they know how. So it's dark already. It's a little cold outside, but I knew we needed some in there. And feeling brave anyway, so because I knew Brother Tony was there. So I told my boys, I said, hey, look, y'all grab the bags and bring them over here. We need to put them in. And so I do that, and so I go, and I really, be honest with you, the door opens up, and I can lean in, just put my head in there, reach in, and turn the lights on. It gets the lights on underneath there, you know, so you can see what you're doing. So I really, that's what I was going to do. It's dark outside. So I'm going to open the door. I mean, just all you do is lean into it. And I said, you know, I had my phone with me. I said, I'll turn my phone light on. And so I turned the phone light on, you know, just to see, make sure, whatever. So I opened that door, and open that door, and the boys are coming, they're starting to come with the bags, and I open that door up, I open the door here, right here, it's a black snake about that long. It's like 35 degrees outside. They're not supposed to be roaming around. And I see that black snake, and I tell, hey, guys, bring the shovel. Put that salt down and go get the shovel. And so by the time they hear me, they get it, and that black snake just sort of slowly eases back into the darkness under the house. Now, somebody that's really courageous would have gone after that snake, all right? I didn't. Brother Tony came down there, and I was showing him. I said, yeah, it was right here. Went back there. He said, well, why don't you call Jason Barrett? I said, no, I'm not going to do that. It just eased back in there. Now, I wish I was good. Now, some of you may have been courageous enough, and you may say, look, I'm just going to go get it. I'm going to go get it. I had other people that, I just leave it under there, which is, as far as I know, is where it is right now. And I have no trouble with that snake being under my house. I just don't want it. If they can get under, can they get in? And I really don't want to share it. Who knows what he's doing right now while I'm gone. But anyway, you want to be courageous and you get opportunities. That was not the time. I was going to show off my courage. But all of us want to be strong and courageous. God gave Joshua, he said, hey, you be strong and courageous, because he needed him to be, if he was going to be the leader he was supposed to be. And so look at verse number 2. We read that. He said, I've got a job for you. You have to lead these people. In verse 2, he says, arise, go over to Jordan, thou and all those people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Look at verse number 6. Be strong and good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. He says, I need you to be the leader. I need you to lead these people. I need you to decide how to divide the land. Somebody's got to be in charge. So Joshua, you need courage, you need strength to lead. Let me tell you this, no matter what leadership position you're in, you need strength and courage from God. And so we need that to make, somebody's got to make the decision. Maybe things we don't want to do, but we have to make decisions for the Lord. Make sure we're strong and courageous. And he gave Joshua that instruction to be able to lead the people. And then also, verse number 7, he says, be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. If we're going to follow what God says, we need the strength and courage to do that, because it's not always easy. He said, don't turn from it. And understand, as you do what God says, the end of verse 7, thou mayest prosper wherever you go, whithersoever thou goest. You know this, I think of our young people going back to college and God's using. Listen, they can do something for God wherever they are. Now, I'm glad when they do something here. I'm glad when they do something at college. But they don't have to wait. We have, I'm impressed by missionaries that are not waiting until they get over to the field to do something for God. Because we can do something for God wherever we are. And so we want to make sure we're not waiting. Now, we have to be trained to be prepared. We understand that. And so we're supposed to go through that. So it doesn't mean that all of a sudden, we're going to, these preacher boys will be holding, month-long revival service. It doesn't mean they can't, but there's some training and preparation we know that goes into it. But it doesn't mean we'll sit around and do nothing for God. No, God has something he wants all of us to do. And wherever you go, if you do it by following what God's word says, and there's a promise from God, you'll prosper wherever you go. And so he needed that strength and courage to do what God had told him. Then look at verse number 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Why else is it to be strong and courageous? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. He says you need to be strong and courageous so you won't be afraid. Boy, have we dealt with that, right, over the last couple of years. You know what fear does? There's a lot of things it does, and we know the Bible tells us if we're fearful, we're not living by faith like we're supposed to. But I was thinking about this week. Fear drives us to decide things quickly. You know that? A lot of times fear will make us make an immediate decision when we should just wait a little bit. But we'll do something because we're afraid, right? And so one or two things, either we'll decide something too quickly because fear is ruling us, right? And we're so afraid, I got to do this. Or what's the other end? We're so afraid, we just don't do anything, right? You ever been that where you get locked up or mentally you get locked up or you're afraid what happens and you're in front of people and you're afraid and nothing comes out because you can't make a decision. So we either decide too quickly or we don't do anything at all because of fear. And so we need to be strong and courageous to make the right decisions, to do what's right, and not to be afraid. And then also it tells us in verse 9, be not dismayed. Hey, God says, I'll take care of you. Be not dismayed. What the song say, whatever betide, God will take care of you, right? Hey, don't be dismayed. No, God's in control and God will take care of us. And so he gives these truths to Joshua. He says, Moses is dead, but understand those same things I gave Moses apply to you. He says, I want you to be strong and courageous. And then the crux of the message this morning as we finish up is verse number 8. He says, here's something for you, Joshua, if you're going to lead these people, if you're going to be strong and courageous, if you're going to feel... And by the way, God never expects Joshua to be Moses. And understand that. And don't try to be somebody else. It wasn't Joshua's job. Joshua's job was to be Joshua. And to do what God had Joshua to do. He couldn't be Moses. He wasn't trying to be Moses. But he could do what God had called him to do. And so God says, here's what you need, Joshua. What you need, verse 8, is this book. He says, here's what you need. You need this book in your life. First thing you need, verse number 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. There needs to be a constancy. In other words, you need to be constantly in God's word. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. That means for us as Christians this morning, we should be in God's word over and over and over again. It should be we're in it so much that that's what it affects our thinking, it affects our doing, it affects how we're living in life. And we may not memorize the whole scripture, but it should be we're familiar with the word of God. Hey, be in the scripture, be in God's word constantly. Now, I was thinking back, I mentioned a couple weeks ago that growing up, when I was a child, I enjoyed reading it, and Dad and Mom would get me these sports trivia books, and I paid attention to sports trivia, enjoyed sports, and just read. And last night I was testing my memory as I was going back over this and see if I can remember. Now, some of these are easy, and I just went with some baseball stuff. For those of y'all who pay attention to baseball, but see what I remember, and I didn't go very far. But obviously, I remembered how many home runs Babe Ruth had. I would ask if y'all know, but it's 714. Now, that came pretty easy to me, 714. Hank Aaron broke that record, and Hank Aaron just passed away this past year. He had 755. That came to me pretty easy. And then we won't talk about Barry Bonds, but that, so 755. So those numbers came easy. Then I said, well, let me try to think of a couple more because I would remember these numbers. And so I went to, I said, man, the last baseball player to hit 400 was Ted Williams. I remember that. He hit 406, and I was trying to remember what year was it. I went with 1941. I looked it up, and it was right. So 1941, the last time a baseball player hit 400. And those of y'all don't care about baseball, none of this means anything to you. But I want to tell you, so and then I started there. The highest batting, well, let me go to the most wins. The most wins by a pitcher, Cy Young back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and I went from my memory. I said, if I remember right, it was 511 wins. And I looked it up, and that was correct, 511 wins. So I was on a roll. I was going pretty good here just to myself. Then I was like, you know, Ty Cobb had the highest batting average ever. Highest batting average ever. And I thought, you know, I've memorized it. It was 367. And I was feeling pretty good. And I look it up, and it said, I mean, Wikipedia can't be wrong. It said 366. It's like, man, what? My memory. At 367, I know I had 367. So I start reading a little more, and it said up until 10 years ago it was 367, but they'd done research, and they found these games, these scores, and so they changed it to 366. So actually I was still right, all right? They just changed it since then. It's been so long since I was a child. But anyway, the point I'm making is this. Those things were still here. You know why? Because I was constantly in those books. Constantly. I mean, I read them all the time. I read those over and over and over again, and I'll read them. And so those numbers are still there. Not because I'll, no, because I thought, man, what if God's word was like that for us, where when something comes up, it's constantly in our minds, and we just can't get it out. Can't get it out. Hey, the principles are there, come up. And those numbers I just recited to you, they mean nothing, all right? I mean nothing to them. And some of you may have known some of those that I just mentioned, but at the end of the day, it means nothing. But boy, the Word of God, for it to be constantly in our minds, in our hearts, it says that's something that should be in your mouth all the time. And then secondly, with the Word of God, verse number 8, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Number one, constant. Number two, consider. Hey, this morning, consider what God is saying. It says to meditate day and night. You know, don't get distracted. God wants us not just to read His Word. He wants us to think on His Word. I mean, to analyze it, to think about it, to dwell on it, and to meditate, man, day and night. I mean, daily, day after day after day, stay in God's Word and think about it. Not just, I mean, we want to read it, that's great. But He wants us to consistently meditate on His Word, day and night. And then look at verse 8. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Number one, constant in the Word of God. Number two, consider the Word of God. Number three, consistent in obedience to the Word of God. According to all that is written therein. You know, the same Bible that says, be not unequally yoked with them that are unbelievers, also says, pray for them which despitefully use you. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to do both. Hey, we're supposed to follow the Word of God. And for some of us, man, it's easier to do one than the other. The same Bible that says, hey, mark those which cause offenses and avoid them, stay away from, also says, what? Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So the Bible gives a lot of truths. We're supposed to do all of it. And not pick and choose. No, He says, I want you to be consistent in following God's Word according to all, Joshua, that I have commanded you. And so you have a constant, be constantly in the Word of God. Consider the Word of God. Be consistent in obedience to God's Word. And then that leads us to the fourth thing, the consequences, the results of following God's Word. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You ever followed directions? I got to put up a couple lights in the house here recently, which is about the level, my skill level. And man, the great thing, in fact, the first one I did, It was late at night. The kids were still up. You know, you put the breaker back on. You turn the light switch on. The kids, nothing came on. Yes. And so then I figured out they went to bed. And, you know, so later, about 30 minutes later, they were in bed. Light came on. You know, I got it. You know, so I woke everybody up. No, I didn't do that. But, success, success. But you follow directions and you see success. You know what? This is the directional book, the guidebook for our lives. You follow the directions, you will see success. Hey, the results will be there, the consequences. Then shalt thou make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt good. So not success by the world standards, not prosperous by the world standards, no, by what God said to do. And that's what we want anyway, right? Joshua was given this book. You know, Moses was dead. Moses was gone. Joshua had a same thing that Moses had, and God's promises and God's presence and God's principles. He needed to be strong and courageous. But you know one thing that Joshua did not need? Joshua didn't need Moses. He didn't. Now, Moses had trained him and prepared him, and that was great, influenced it. But you know what? He didn't need Moses. You know why he didn't need Moses? Because he had this book. He had this book. You know what we need moving forward in our lives? We need the influences and the help of others. Yes, we do. And we need those who have gone before us and learned from them. Yes, sure, we do. But I tell you more than anything else, what you need in 2022, you need this book. You need this book. And you need to live your life by this book. Hey, Joshua, if he was ever going to conquer Canaan and do what God had called him to do, he better have something straight first. He better have this book as his foundation. And that's what Joshua did. And God could use him because he followed this book. 2022, I want you to make a decision this morning. Say, I'm going to follow this book. Hey, with my life, I want to follow God's Word. Father, thank you for the Word of God and the truths that are in God's Word. And Lord, we have your instructions for us. Lord, we don't have to guess. It's not something we have to try to find and look up what it should be. No, we are given your Word. And Lord, just as Joshua had been given those first five books, that Lord, obviously he had in his hand and in his possession what you had given to Moses, the law and the truth from that. And he had that in written form. Or even more so today, we have more than Joshua did. We have the completed work of God, the completed Holy Bible. Lord, I pray that this book would be our guidebook, would be our source, Lord, for instruction, for wisdom, for strength. And Lord, help it to be something that just permeates our life. Lord, bless us today. Help us to take the truth from the Word of God. Yes, we want to share it with others, Lord, but help us to take it for ourselves and to use it this year more than ever before. In Jesus' name. Everybody stand with head bowed and eyes closed this morning. Let me ask you, I know for the most part it's just our people here, not a lot of visitors in, but still want to make sure, say, hey, this morning I know for sure I'm saved. Listen, we need to read the Word of God. But just reading it doesn't get us saved. The only way we're saved is through the gospel, through salvation that is given to us in the Word of God. But this morning you say, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven. I know for sure if I was to die today, I'd wake up in heaven. If you can say it this morning, just slip your hand up and say, I know I'm saved this morning. I mean, we sang about this morning, put your hand right back down. I always love to talk about and sing about salvation. Here this morning you say this, you say, listen, I'm not sure, we're starting a new year off, I've had some doubts or, you know, some things that have come up, I'm just not sure about my salvation. And you just say this, say, pray for me. I won't embarrass you at all. You say, pray for me. I'm just not sure about my salvation. If you like that this morning, if you just slip your hand up, I won't call you out at all. But say, just pray for me this morning. I'm not sure about my salvation. Let me ask you this morning, are we living according to this book? Hey, have you been in this book this morning? Have you been in this book this week? Hey, when's the last time we were in this book? Hey, is it a constant part of our life? Are we meditating on it? Do we consider it? Man, are we consistent in following it? And I hope God deals with you this morning and just remind us to be in His Word. As music plays this morning, you come forward as the Lord spoke to you.
Have a great afternoon. Don't forget choir practice tonight, 5:30 for junior choir and choir, and then 5:45 for the teens. And listen, the main reason I preached this morning is to see who's strong and courageous enough to get that snake out front of my house. So if you'll form a line over here right after church, then I'll get your name and number. No, but do that on the way out. Make sure you don't forget this. All right, get these on the way out. They're on the tables out there. Still have our Bible study booklets for the month of January as we get a new year started. And again, so enjoy today. Be back in here tonight. Got services Wednesday night. Again, you got children in the school, preschool. Keep an eye on the website and on the news and stuff in case we'll see what happens tomorrow. But just be aware of that possibility. I know everybody's ready to get back, but we may have to take one more day. We'll see what happens. We'll try to let you know for sure tonight, and we'll have that posted on the different places. And then pray for college students. And, man, good to have Gabriel in and leaving, what, tomorrow, I guess, maybe, sometime, if there's not too much snow. Anyway, pray for them traveling back. And, Gabriel, why don't you close in prayer for a moment?